Well, you might notice Miss Lynette is not here tonight. Well, Monday afternoon about 4:30 over in the office, she was going, making the corner, going down the hall, go to one another office, and she tripped and fell and broke her right wrist. She's left-handed. She said, "Thank God I'm left-handed." And so we had asked for your prayers. She will undergo surgery Friday. They didn't give us a date time yet, but Friday she'll undergo surgery. It's not really bad, but it needs to be put back in place so it'll stay together right. And so just pray for be a good surgery and no complications and quick recovery. Some of you know Miss Lynette. Keeping her down is quite the job. Ask the staff there. Ask her grandson right there. She goes all the time. So, but I told her, I said, "You just relax. Everything's going to be all right." But she's up pretty tight right now. So pray for her. I want to talk to you tonight about your futures in your words. Life and destiny are shaped by what you say. Now, I want you to realize that this is not just a principle. Actually, it's a spiritual law. You know, many people are praying for change, wanting change, hoping for change, but they're not saying the right thing. Did you realize you're living today in part because of what you said yesterday? And you'll live tomorrow based on what you've been saying today. Some people say, "Oh, it's just words. I'm just talking." But in the kingdom of God, words are never just words. They either carry faith or fear or belief and authority. See, once those words are released in the spiritual world, they begin to work. Now, let's look at Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit." You know, actually, I'm not trying to add this, but actually, it's those who love it will reap the fruit, really, or reap what you say. You know, what you say, this says here, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you say, you eat it, you live it, you experience it. Your words don't disappear. Your words produce. That's true in the natural as well as in the spiritual. We're talking about the spiritual side here, but you can take the same thing that we're talking about and use it on the natural side. Because if you go to any psychologist, and I had quite a few hours of psychology in my degree, but one of the things, a person that has a bad self-image, they get them to say and repeat, "I am somebody." Anybody know about that? Because your words don't vanish. They grow. They don't fade away. Actually, they form our future by what we say. I know one of our coaches in high school, he used to come in the locker room and he'd go to every guy and whatever position you played, whatever you did, and he'd say, "I'm going to score a touchdown tonight. Say, I can't be beat." I mean, that's in the natural. So I want us to get a hold of this both in both worlds, because your future is in your words. Turn to your neighbor and say, your future is in your words. Your words create direction. James 3, start reading with the third verse. I'm going to read the NLT. What makes a large horse go wherever we want by means of We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. He's trying to help us to understand something powerful here. Now, talking about horses, when I was 16, traveling with my dad out in California. Of course, I'm born and raised in Texas. So I was with the youth group, and when we went out one Saturday, because he was holding a meeting there, and he used to have those meetings. They'd last 2 or 3 weeks sometimes back in those days. And you're talking about 54, 55 now, and then on past. And so we were going to go horseback riding. Well, we all got there, and I don't know, there's 10, 15 of us, I guess, maybe more, I don't know. Anybody, the boy there was saddling the horses, and I was standing there talking to him, and as he is saddling the horses, you know, and I'd probably, you know, rubbing one of the horses on the nose and all that. And he finally stopped and turned around, and he looked at me, and he said, "You must be from Texas." Of course, I had on boots, jeans, Western shirt, big cowboy belt with a big buckle, you know, like we wear down there. And like they wear here if you're Western style here. I like Western style. I'd like to dress that way all the time, but it's not what I need to do. But, he said, "Can you ride?" I said, "I'm from Texas." He said, "Can you ride?" And I said, "Well, I know how to ride. I don't know whether you call me an expert rider or not, but I know something about horses." He said, "You see that one right over there?" Because this was in the spring of the year. And if you don't know it, the horses, if they've been out to pasture all during the winter, you have to ride them and get them broke back in to want somebody on their back. And he said, "I haven't had time to work with that horse, and every time I saddle it and I put somebody on it, they go down to the end of the coming out of the barn. They'll go down and turn out on the trail. He starts acting up, and they'll get scared and jump off, and he turns around and runs back to the stable." And he said, "You think you could ride?" I said, "I think I can handle him." All right, so I get on him. Here we go. We go down there. We start there. We get down to turn, and I'm turning. He didn't want to turn, and he starts just prancing sideways. You guys are riding horses know what I'm talking about. And I popped him with the reins between the ears, you know, pretty good. And he turned on out, and then he decided he wanted to rear up, so he rear up a little bit, and I hit him and between the ears, and somebody, "Oh, that's mean." No, that's what you do. How many rode horses know that's the truth? You hit them between the ears. In fact, if you see a horse that's got a deal hooked here and going down to that strap around the front, that horse bucks. But a horse can't buck if it can't get its head up. Right? You horse people? And so, but then he stood up again and he started walked a little bit backwards. Well, I know about that. If that starts happening, you better get out of that saddle in a hurry, because if he falls over backwards, you're in trouble. I kicked out of the saddle, hit the ground, rolled over, and I saw a stick about that round. I grabbed it, jumped back in that saddle, and I hit him between those ears about 3 times. And you know that horse settled down? I rode him for 2 hours. And he come back. I got back to the stable, and that old boy, he said, "Yeah." He said, When he reared up and you kicked off and jumped back in the saddle, I turned around and started saddling horses, because he said, "I know that boy knows what he's doing." But you see, I had, and then I, when I got back on, I jerked that bit in his mouth. I jerked that thing back and hunched. Because you got to let him know, because that's what controls him. How many of you ride horses? How many realize that bit in that mouth, and you got to be careful that they don't get the bit scooted up and get it between their teeth so you can't do anything. Anybody ever had one do that on you? That ain't no fun either. But that's controlled that horse. Now, your life may be complicated, but the tongue is just a small thing. Now, a horse can be large and heavy, but that bit on in their mouth, that bit in their mouth helps control that horse. Then, of course, you get into real riding, and sometimes you do it, you do some control with your knees and so forth, but I'm not going to get into that. That's when you really get to doing some different things on the horse. You just don't drift into your destiny. You speak your way into it. It's some people are always waiting for a new opportunity, a new season, a new door. But it's never going to happen because they're not saying the right thing. As long as your words don't change, nothing's going to happen. Your direction will be the same. Now, think about this. How many of you got newer cars that's got the GPS system on it? How many of you got a phone? You can get the GPS on your phone, okay? Now, that when you plug into there what you want to do, you want to go here or there, and it'll say, go here 1.2 miles and turn right. And when you get there, it says turn right. It talks to you. It is setting your direction. It's setting, when you follow it, it's bringing you to where you're supposed to go. So you need to learn to listen and then to speak. First of all, you can't get that thing to work for you till you plug something into it. And then it will talk back to you and tell you, go straight for so many miles. Well, you can't speak the right thing if you're not putting the right thing in. See? If you're not putting faith in, then you're not going to speak faith. You're going to speak fear. You can't speak, defeat consistently and hope to arrive at a victory. You got a coach said, I had a coach say it to me, but I think he got it from somebody else. You can't win unless you believe you can. You can't receive unless you believe you can. If you believe you can, you'll say it. When I was running track in high school, a guy came up to me and said, Hagen, you're not going to win today. So-and-so can outrun you. I said, no, he can't. No, he can't. See, you got to say the right words. And he didn't. And everybody couldn't believe it. Because actually, he had run faster times than I had run for the race. I hadn't run that, but I never stepped on a track or a ball field or anything that I didn't expect to win. And I that's in the natural. And in the spiritual, I expect to win because I expect what this word says to come to pass. And I say it. When I pray over my food, every time I pray over my food, I thank God for the food, but I say, thank you, Father, that we're protected by the 91st Psalm, and no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm quoting what the Bible says. A lot of people say, oh, you do that when you pray over? Yeah. And I do it a lot. I do it more than that. If I see anything that's fearful, I immediately begin to say, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. I'm talking about you, your words. Your words create your destiny. You know, any of you have ever been on a cruise ship? Some people have, but any of you ever seen those? They're huge. And hundreds of passengers. But you know what? That huge ship is turned by small rudder. Now, when you say small rudder, when you look at it, it's big, but compared to the ship, it's very small. And that's the same way you may feel life is overwhelming you, and you may say, my situation is complex. But I'm going to tell you what, your direction that you go will be shaped by what you say. You need to think about what you say about your future. Talk in line with God's word. Well, it's the natural. Well, the word of God has a lot to say about the natural. Come on. It says the same power that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body. Hello. I say it about every day. I say, I thank God I have a strong mind, a well body. I can remember things. I say it every day. I every night when I go to bed, I claim the 91st Psalm and the name of Jesus over my family, all of my family. I have a right to do that. I'm the patriarch of my family, and I have that right. I call them by name every night. And the minute that they say, tornado watch, I begin to speak. They say, tornado watch, I say, Father, I thank you. All the realm of property is protected. I have that right. I'm over it. I call every one of my family members. I said, their property's been, my property is protected. Ranch down at the ranch is protected. And I continue to say that even when they say warning, that means there's one on the ground somewhere. I continue to say the same thing. Hello? You got to speak the right words. I continue to say, you got to speak the right words about your health. I continue to say, I'm healthy and well and strong. I have a strong mind. I have a strong heart. Come on now. I confess things about my family. What you say about your family? If your words sound like defeat, you already set a wrong direction. Hello? But now, let's go back to that GPS. If you happen to veer off of that GPS, it will tell you, make a U-turn. You missed it. It corrects you, gets you back. So if you do begin to speak some wrong things, then immediately you need to make a U-turn and start correcting what you're saying. See, you change direction. If you're going this way in your life and you're speaking the wrong thing, change what you're speaking and you'll start going in the right direction. Hello? Anybody understand what I'm trying to get across to you? Your words, they control your life. Now, your words release spiritual power. Of course, we all know this. Mark 11:23. For sure, I say unto you, whoever says this mountain be removed, be cast in the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, believe that those things we just say will be done, he'll have what he says. Now, this is a radical statement here that Jesus made. But mountains don't move because of emotion. Now, mountains don't move because of sympathy. See, when we're talking about mountains in our life, we're talking about all of our situations that we face. Mountain of debt, mountain of this, mountain of that. You see, mountains move because somebody has faith and speaks. Come on now. I should have had more amens than that. You can't be silent and receive. And I want you to notice in this verse of scripture, it talks about saying three times and only believing one time. Anybody ever notice that in that scripture? So that means it's important what you say. You got to keep saying. Well, I don't see it happening. That don't make no difference. Keep saying. Keep saying. See? Spoken words. There's a difference between believing something and then declaring it. A lot of people say, I believe the Bible, but they never declared it. It only becomes a reality when you declare it. Hello? Amen. You know, you can believe all you want to, but unless you speak according to what Mark 11:23 says, it's not going to happen. Hello? Because people never speak, they never have. You know, I will walk in, I'll pull into my garage when I go home. I'll cut my car off and I'll shut the door. But you know what? My lights on my car will stay on for a little bit, but then they'll go off. And if I don't go directly in the house, if I don't reach over and flip a switch on the wall that turns the light on, I'm going to be in the dark. Now, the power's there. All I got to do is flip the switch. That's what you got to do. You can believe all you want to, but until you begin to speak, it's like flipping that light switch. Hello. Your words, in other words, are the switch. Anybody ever, even on TV or in real reality, watched court proceedings in a courtroom? Anybody ever watched that? You ever notice that the attorneys for either defense or prosecution will elicit an answer from a witness that they know that's going to get struck from the record. And if you go back and read the report, because there's a person over there typing, they're recording everything. They'll object to it, and the judge will say, strike that from the record. But I'll tell you what, they wanted those words, those attorneys wanted those words spoken, because you can strike them from that record, but you're never going to strike them from the mind of the juror that heard them. And when they go into that jury room to make a decision, those words will still be there. Come on now. I'm talking about how words affect. Come on. You know, in the same way, heaven responds to faith. You need to start talking faith. Oh, the situation's too big. How can that be? Don't talk like that. Just say, hey, there's nothing too big for my God. This mountain will go in Jesus' name. I had somebody say something here recently. Oh, it's been a while. When I say recently, it could be 2 years, I don't know. I mean, Oh, I just don't see how, I don't see how that could happen. And I told him, that ain't the way to talk. You just got through singing the song, God makes a way where there's no way. That's what you need to talk about. In fact, he talks about in here. He talks about making the desert bloom. He talks about making a road where there's no road. Come on, anybody? Well, that's, I'm paraphrasing, but that's exactly what he's talking about. See, in fact, when you speak it, it releases the power, and something's happening whether you can see it or not, so you keep speaking. Okay, number three. Oh, man, come on. I'm just on page 7. I got 14. Your words reveal what's on the inside of you, or you might say your heart. Luke 6:45. A good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. What you, and this is what I want you to get a hold of. What you say flows from what is in your heart or what's on the inside of you. If you want to change your words, then change what you're filling yourself with. Okay? You can't speak faith if you're constantly feeding your fear. You have to be careful what you listen to, what you watch, what you meditate on. You know, what you watch, what you listen to, what you meditate on, eventually it'll come out of your mouth. Hello. You know, you can start meditating on something until that may never, ever happen until you get just, oh, really, you know. I was about 13, I think, maybe 12, 13 or 12. And I woke up, or I heard a noise, and I woke up, and some of you people remember when we had shades that we pulled down. Anybody remember that? These young people don't know nothing about that. And if you don't stop that thing right and you turn it loose, boop! Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, the shade was pulled, and I guess the porch light was on. I don't know. Anyway, there was a shadow, and I kept seeing, and I hear this, and there was a shadow, and it looked like a man's hand that would come down on that shade, and I said, man, somebody's out there trying to break in. They're trying to get that screen off, because we had screens back in those days, and we didn't have the windows you have now. You had a window pane and still. Anyway, and I'm laying there thinking about that. Oh, man, what am I going to do? Oh, no. And finally, I was starting, and finally I said, what is the matter with me? I got up and went over and yanked up, because my room was there. They actually had been a den, but they turned it into my room because that was the only thing, other thing could be a bedroom. We needed three of them. And I opened my door, and when I did, I saw that the wind was blowing and that old mimosa tree out there, that limb was coming down and scraping on the side of the house. And there I was meditating about that. Somebody's breaking in, and it wasn't nothing. Now, I said all that to say this. When the pressure hits, we, instead of meditating on and saying what the Word of God says, we begin to think, oh, what if this happened? What if that happened? What if this happens? Hey, and you know what? When the pressure's on, whatever's on the inside of you comes out. I mean, we were driving somewhere. Oh, it's been several months ago now, I guess. And there was, you know, we were on this side of the highway, and the cars all stopped over here, and we saw it was a bad, bad wreck. And both of us, almost my Lynette and myself, at the same time, oh, Lord, touch those people. help them. You know why? Because that's what's on the inside of me. And some of you, it's the same way. You see, life will apply pressure with bad news and stress and challenges. But if you got the right saying and been filling you're filling yourself up with the word, then that's what comes out. Now I got to hurry. I may go overtime tonight. Is that all right?
Yes.
I'm going to do it anyway. If you got to leave, it's all right. You can go. Your words build or destroy your world. Proverbs 12:18 NLT. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. You know, words land when you speak. And words are either upbuilding or they're breaking down. Some people are living in emotional ruins because of the words they spoke maybe years ago. You know, you may forget what you say, but the person you said it to won't. Now, look at this. You know, a teacher can tell a kid, you're dumb. You'll never amount to anything. You know what? That'll have an effect on that kid. I learned this a long, long time ago. When I took my kids to school and I let them out, I'd hear other dads hollering, boy, don't you get in trouble today. I'll get you if you do. Don't you make a bad grade. And I thought, Craig and Denise would get out of the car and I'd say, Jesus loves you, Daddy loves you, have a great day. You know, but that same student can have somebody speak to them and say, hey, don't listen to that. You're capable. You can do this. And that unlocks the potential that the other voice locked down. The devil will tell you this, that, and the other, but when you got the word, it unlocks the potential. Come on. Your words either build or destroy. All right, number five. Your words determine your harvest. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he also reap. Every word is a seed. And seeds do not produce quickly. It takes time. But a seed will produce. You know, a farmer plants a seed. He walks away. And they may be many days before there's any visible evidence that anything is happening. But under the ground, something's taking on place. That's why you need to keep saying the right words. It'll produce a harvest. You know, start planting words intentionally. Speak blessings about your future. Speak peace over your home. Speak victory over every situation daily. Speak victory over your children. You know, when you speak, you're planting seeds, and there will be a harvest. Now, let's do number six real quick. Your words must align with God's word. Now, I'm going to read Romans 10:9-10. If we confess our sins, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you would be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead as long as you want to, but until you make that confession, According to Romans 10, 9, and 10, you're not saved. Am I right or wrong? Well, I got four or five people that raised their hand. Is that not what the Bible says? Well, and if you then go to Mark 11, 23, it's the same thing. Say it with your mouth, believe in your heart. This says believe in your heart and confess or say it with your mouth. You're saved by believing in your heart and saying it with your mouth. What you say with your mouth concerning the Word of God matters to Him. And victory is found in not agreeing with all of the junk, but agreeing with what God said. A thermostat doesn't tell you the temperature, it sets the temperature. That's what you need to do. Don't let anybody tell you what's what. You take the Word of God and you set it up. It's your thermostat. Okay? Thermostat doesn't change the temperature, but it changes the. It doesn't report the temperature, I should say. It changes it. Make it a daily discipline to speak Scripture out loud. Declare the promises of God. Refuse to speak negatively. Let your words agree with the Word of God, even when the natural disagrees. And I've heard my dad say that, and you've heard him. If you've heard him teach, you've heard him say, "You got your words or your talking has got to line up with what the Word of God says." Words shape the world that you're living in. It steers your life. It releases the power. It reveals what's in your heart. And it shows what you're planning for the future. Every word matters. Every declaration matters. Because your future is in your words. Refuse negative confession. Refuse careless talk. Replace fear with faith. Even when you don't feel it, you don't see it, you don't understand it, speak it anyway. Because what you say today will be your tomorrow. Everybody stand, please. I went through those others real quick, but I'm getting you. Hey, say this with me. I speak faith when it's uncomfortable. I speak the truth when circumstances say otherwise. We're talking about the truth of God's word. I declare life. I declare victory. I declare the promises of God are mine. Working in my life. My life is great because God says it will be. I believe it. I say it. God said it. I said it. Amen. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I trust you got something today and tonight out of that. But our words, you come on down, our words are containers. Do you realize that? Your words set the atmosphere. Have you ever walked into a place and you could feel the negativity or you could feel the tenseness? It's because the words that have been spoken. Hello. Your words are vitally important in the natural as well as in the spiritual. Hallelujah. If you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know Him before you leave here tonight. Or you know what it is to serve God, but you sort of got your life messed up and you got a detour. You need to come back and rededicate your life to God. The ladies are here. The men are over here. As we're dismissed, come down here and they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for any reason, for anything, if you'll come down here, these prayer partners will pray with you. I think we had one guest. If we had a guest, would you, or whatever, would you, connection team, go find those guests. Take them back there and get a gift. Thank you for being with us tonight. And while we say, church, welcome home. Just come on and be with us. Be with our family. Hey, Sunday morning right here, Wednesday night, next Wednesday night, Hour of Power. All right. Don't forget to pray for Miss Lynette Friday. She has that on her wrist. I'm going to go over to that gym over there and see. Now, what they did, they formed this, and they had a bunch of guys sign up. And so then they formed a captain, and they had a draft. And so they got four teams in our basketball association. That's what it is. And it's just, some of them are members, some of them are students, but it's just, actually, it's just another way for us to have some fellowship and enjoy some things. And they're going to have some food over there. I already told Byron what I wanted. He's fixing it for me. He knows how I like my cheeseburger, and he's fixing it for me. But if you want to come on over there, I want to invite you to come. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to watch my words. I don't know about you. If you need salvation, you need a rededication, you need somebody to pray with you about anything, get on down here right now. God bless.